Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the instant match reaction tonight. I'm joined by Ben Kelly for this one. Ben, thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to be able to talk about a Liverpool victory for a change.
It is. We've done a few of these now, and they're not often when it's been wins. So it's nice to chat to you and have a positive conversation.
And yet, for the first half, I did not think we'd be sat here talking about a Liverpool win. I thought we'd be talking about a 0-0 draw, to be honest with you, Ben, because Ramsdale was fucking excellent in the first half, wasn't he?
I think, other than that, there were parts of it that didn't bode well because, like, it just felt as if Nick Pope's done it for years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Where he'll show up twice a season and it'll be home to Liverpool, away at Liverpool, and that's all he does. Ben Foster used to be really good at it as well when he used to play for West Brom. There's been a few handful of goalkeepers.
Any second goalkeeper,
but like Aaron Ramsdale, even though he's the first choice goalkeeper, is a terrible goalkeeper. So there's just any terrible goalkeepers that are by trade pretty terrible would show up against Liverpool, and it looked like Ramsdale was doing that. But I must admit, overall, I disagree. I think we were creating more than enough to win that game, and I really did have confidence. I didn't think getting the goal early in the second half helped, but I did, and not letting it rumble on. But overall, I knew eventually we'd get the goal. I think
I'm not going to go into mine because I went into it at half time, and Ross was ultimately right on it, and you're right on it that Liverpool did create the opportunities. My thing was more around the fact that, like, I've seen this game so often over the last few weeks that I just didn't want to. I felt really bad at half time, like I was just going to see that game again, and I couldn't deal with it, to be honest with you. So I made up that Liverpool were obviously able to turn that around and stuff, and a big part of that, Ben, was Kurt Jones tonight. I think, you know, once again, he stepped up and he's really staking a claim for a first team place when everyone's fit and available right now.
He is. He's moving into quite an underrated category of, you know, youngsters in the Premier League. You know,
everyone always talks about the Foden.
And right now, you know, Phil Foden's head and shoulders above him, I'd say. I think he's probably the best young England player, you know, in the country at the moment, and that's widely accepted. That's fine. But right now, Curtis Jones, you know, we've gotten well past the point where we even bat an eye in being in the team. And I think that's the important thing. That's when you know, and he'll know that as well. That's when you know that, you know, obviously, you know, you've become an established player in a side and fans aren't really talking about you anymore. In fact, we're having conversations more along these lines, you know, not necessarily about, you know, a year ago, this would have been, oh, so we started Curtis Jones. That's an interesting talking point. Now it's just Curtis Jones' performance. And, you know, we've moved on from talking about his involvement in the team, which I think is key, you know, as a young player trying to break yourself into the side. Very quickly, you want to break off the reputation of being the young player. And even though he is a young player and he's, you know, he's got a lot of potential, that isn't necessarily what we're talking about anymore. We're seeing the potential in practice now.
Yeah.
We're seeing him do those things on the pitch that, you know, like we know and we've seen him do at the under-18s and the under-23s level. And now, you know, everybody else is starting to see that as well.
Well, you look at it, and I had a quick look at the stats before I did the player ratings, and I forgot to mention this stat actually. He completed 26 of 27 passes. You know, I was sat here with Paul a week or so ago, and, you know, Paul would made a very big point of every time Curtis had the ball going, like, oh, Curtis has kept the ball. And he keeps the ball in some very tough situations to keep the ball in as well, doesn't he, Ben? And that's probably one of the things that he does so well, is he just never gives up. He never gives the ball up either. He never turns the ball over. But crucially tonight, Ben, and this is what's going to make Kurt Jones, in the eyes of Liverpool fans all over the world, step up and be a first team player, is you're going to get goals. And he needs to, and right now, he needed to get goals. The midfield needs to step up to help the forwards because they're not firing. On all three of them aren't firing. And yet Kurt Jones gets into the box and he gets that goal.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a really good finish as well. It's a really instinctive finish. I like it, you know. And I think you know, I think from what we've seen, I was growing more and more confident, to be honest, that the goals would come, you know, because he's getting himself into those positions. And as he, you know, I would say he will feel now quite confident with the pace of the Premier League. You know, he'll feel quite comfortable in that. But, you know, there's a difference between being comfortable with the general pace and then, like, being able, like, what Mo Salah, it feels like we've talked before about how, like, the way Mo Salah must receive the Premier League when he has those opportunities, that, you know, kind of everything else slows down around him and he's able to relax and take those chances, that, you know, that comes with time and that comes with, you know, practicing and you know, developing your skill as, you know, in terms of being sharp and being instinctive in front of goal. Curtis Jones has a long way to go in terms of, you know, a lot of time to be able to develop that. And even over the last 12 months, you know, you'd argue that you've seen a big improvement in that. So, and tonight was a really good example. It comes to on the edge of the box, bam. And that's, you're right, that is what we need from midfield. We need that sort of ruthless, you know, really good goal scorer in midfield that's going to pick up, you know, not even five, but maybe 10-15 goals a season, you know, as time goes on. Because, or, you know, at least 10 and some assists, you know, that's what you want from your top quality midfield players. That's what that's the kind of output that you're seeing right now from Kevin De Bruyne, Bruno Fernandes. Now, I'm not saying that Curtis Jones will reach those levels anytime soon, but what I'm saying is that he's got a long old career ahead of him, and he's got the years to be able to further himself. And right now he's got himself into a really good position. Maybe this is the one benefit from the amount of injuries that we've got. You know, those two lads, Henderson and Fabinho, if they'd been fit this whole time, or if the centre-backs had been fit this whole time and they'd been in and allowing Henderson and Fabinho to play in midfield, Curtis Jones certainly would have had more limited opportunities, especially with the arrival of Thiago and, you know, how important Gini is to the way the team plays. So one of the benefits of all these injuries, I suppose, is Curtis Jones is taking this opportunity with both hands. Yeah. And now he's worked himself into a position where he is this level at this age and he's only going to further himself.
I think you're right there. I think, you know, his development will have been certainly sped up, boosted along the way because of all the games that he's had to play because of that. Now, it's an interesting one. I wasn't going to talk about this on this show, but I do find it interesting. Obviously, Naby Keita comes back into the side, I think 10 minutes ago, comes on for Curtis Jones himself, actually. Now, Naby Keita, much further on his career, take the injuries aside for a second. Naby Keita comes back and he's able to spell 10 games. Is Naby Keita ahead of Kurt Jones in the pecking order?
That's a really good question. Yes. Yes. And there's nothing against Kurt Jones. I just think that Naby Keita's a really, really good football player. And unfortunately, we've not seen that enough over the course of his whole Liverpool career. But like, I am, like, I've seen enough of it, and I'm convinced that Jurgen Klopp has seen enough of it to know that if Naby Keita can string 10 games together, like, I'm still pretty convinced that he's one of the first names on the team sheet in Klopp's head. Because, you know, there was even that just at the end, I think you said on commentary that, oh, you've missed it, where he does that little step over in the field in his own half and he drags it. I think he ends up losing the ball, but he gets the ball, does a step over, kind of goes past the man, and then, you know, he drives forward 10 yards with the ball. Oh, God, we've missed that so much.
It's just so, and it's been so predictable and sideways, hasn't it?
And when you're missing both Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain, both players of which who are notorious for doing that, that is their game. And when both of those players are out, unfortunately, they're two of the most injury-prone players in the squad. But when both those players are out for sustained periods, you're right, we do miss that. And I think it's just flashes of brilliance with Naby Keita. And I'm holding out all my hope. I don't know whether I've over-romanticised Naby Keita in my head because of the way that we've been playing. Because when things are great, and it's a bit like this with Firmino's form, when things are great and when we're winning games and when we're winning trophies, things like this don't seem as much of a problem, Firmino's form, the absence of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita. But when things aren't going well and when we're losing games, you find yourself sort of yearning for those players a bit more. And I think right now, like over the last few weeks, that, you know, conversations with my dad and in the office have been like, I'm convinced that Cater's just that little thing that we need, that we're missing, that little
He can
spark.
Link the midfield and the attack, I think, better than any of the other midfielders that we've got. Like, almost the first thing he did was play a through ball to Sadio Mane after beating a man, and you're like, oh my God, what, like, directness, cut and thrust from the midfield, just like instantly knows what's going on. He knows where Mane's going to be, and he plays that ball. And you mentioned the player there, Bobby Firmino. We can't go through tonight's show without talking about Bobby Firmino, because I think on one hand, I'm looking at it and I'm going, really creative display from Bobby. And on the other, I'm looking at it and going, really frustrating centre-forward display by Bobby.
Kind of sums up his season a bit, doesn't it, in a way? Well, I'm not even sure if it does, because obviously he's not been scoring. So, he gets the goal, or, you know, he essentially gets the goal, doesn't he? I don't know if it goes down as an own goal in the end. But the first half was difficult. You know, like, there was a couple of chances. The very first chance of the game, it's a good save, but... You know, does Cavani score that? Probably. Does Sergio Aguero score that? Almost definitely. So, you know, that's the sort of gap.
Who do you said Cavani and Aguero there, and that they play the same position, but is it really a fair like for like?
Well, probably not. But that's the whole debate around Firmino, isn't it?
Well, let's talk about it as a guy who's a really creative player. Does Bruno Fernandes score that? He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, possibly. I think. Well, I mean, Kevin De Bruyne had one similar at Stamford Bridge a few weeks back that he put wide, but then City went and ran right in that first half. So I'm trying to think of other players that maybe, you know,
Madison. Maybe.
Madison's been scoring, hasn't he? I mean, Jamie Vardy definitely scores there. You know, and again, I know he's not the same player, but as I've said, you know, that this is the wider debate on Roberto Firmino at the moment. Liverpool, unfortunately, are crying out for that type of player who is going to put that away.
Do you think that all this is compounded, Ben, by the fact that Mane is not in great form at the moment?
Quite possibly, yeah. You know, actually, when you look at Firmino and Mane's numbers side by side, Firmino is the one having a slightly better season, which I think... And I do wonder why that is. I don't know whether or not Mane, for whatever reason, you know, has more credit in the bank. You know, I'm not quite sure.
Because he scores goals most of the
time. Well, yeah, maybe.
Because you know he can.
Yeah, probably. But there comes a Firmino, I feel like got away with it, but like that's essentially what it is. Like it wasn't talked about as much with Firmino last season. Again, probably because we were doing so well and, you know, winning so many games and all that. But like my point is, I do wonder whether there's a point where the scales will tip with Mane as well. You know, right now, where's the line? Where's the line between he's out of form and this is a real concern? Because I feel like we've crossed that line with Firmino now. I feel like, you know, it's probably the best part of 18 months since Roberto Firmino's been himself. And I don't think I'm exaggerating there. I don't think he was great for long periods of last season, and it went under the radar, and he's certainly not been great this season either. So I feel like as a fan base now, and as people who discuss the team as fans, the scales have tipped, and we're having genuine conversations now about whether Firmino has passed his peak. What else can we be doing to get more out of Firmino? You know, should we be looking at replacing Firmino? All those conversations are taking place. Sadio Mane is sort of in an earlier stage of that. With Sadio Mane, we're still having the conversation of, well, he's out of form, we know he can score goals, he'll get back to his best.
It's really interesting.
But it's been a good while. It's been a good while now with Mane as well. And it's just habitual things. It's, you know, it's almost like a process that every player goes through eventually. You have to make that decision eventually. But it's kind of happening with Sergio Aguero and Man City at the moment. Sergio Aguero has been a phenomenal player for Manchester City, but he's now 33 years old. So at what point do you call a long spell out of form just... That's it. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Well, listen, like, we've got to discuss the good points from Bobby as well, because the way he obviously gets the goal tonight, Ben. But there was some really great creative play in there. Certainly first half, it's a lovely little ball over the top from Mo Salah, releases him into a one-on-one situation. There was times when he looked like a cracking little number 10.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to... Obviously, if people want to go and check out a little bit of that, I did talk about that in the Stats and Tactics last week. Because Roberto Firmino's 29, so he's not dumb, right? I'm not buying into the notion that we should sell him. But what my opinion is that we should play to his strengths. We should be looking now to play to his strengths. And what I think his strengths are the passing, you know, the creative passing. And I think there's a stigma that he gives away the ball a lot. I don't think he does. I think he looks after the ball quite well. I think he could be better. So what can you do with Firmino, you know, in terms of getting the best out of him? So for me, you can either play him in a 4-2-3-1 and a number 10, which I think would suit him very, very well, with somebody ahead of him, whether that becomes Salah when Jota comes back, possibly, and that's how you fit all four in there. I think he did that away at Man City, didn't he? He had all four on the pitch. So that's a possibility. But I discussed the possibility of, you know, one day maybe just playing him in the midfield three, say, oh, no, that works, you know. But then we've already talked about the emergence of Curtis Jones. So suddenly then...
And Naby Keita, who's maybe ahead of him.
And ahead of him. So, but in a way, I suppose then it's good to have options in that sense. Suddenly we've gone from no creative midfielders to potentially three. You've got a few of them there. You can mix and match. Liverpool's midfield for a long, long time has been a very industrial midfield. Been a very hard working, closing down, but you don't get a lot of creative output. It would be nice to have more consistent availability in terms of creativeness in midfield. And the one thing that we know Firmino is very, very, very good at is being available for game.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, that's true. James Lim, Super Chat, thank you so much. James, £10, wow. Jones, class, agent, solid and commanding at corners. His experience was vital. Brill performance, something to build on. Phillips proving why he's good enough at the minute. You'll never walk alone. Come on, you Reds, let's go! let's talk about the two centre-halves then. He mentions Phillips then, does James. And what did you make of Kabak and Phillips tonight?
It was good. I like Nat Phillips. I've said before, and obviously I know now we've kind of, it's funny that it's taken literally everybody else to be injured for him to seem to be, you know, getting a proper start, you know, thrown in there properly. Because I think if either Henderson or Fabinho was fit today, I think they would have played ahead of him. So for me, he's one of the great enigmas in this Liverpool side, because every time I see Nat Phillips, I think he's great. And then Klopp always seems to prefer other players over him, so I can never figure that out why, but obviously Klopp sees a lot more of him than I do, so you know that's just the way that is. But I thought today they were good. I think it's difficult with a team like Sheffield United because they're just not very good, are they? They're a championship level side, which is exactly like
where they're heading.
Where
Phillips maybe should be.
Exactly, and I think that's what a lot of people would argue. So, you know, in a game like this,
they played to his strength tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, because he's a no-nonsense defender, and that's how to defend against Sheffield United. They're not playing little ticky-tacker 1-2s around the edge of the box. They're, you know, playing long balls into the box from set pieces. We kept giving away set pieces in the first half, and I'm like, you know, I think Adrian made a really good save early on from McGoldrick. I think it was offside, but like we kept doing that. We kept giving away free kick in those areas that we're gonna play to their strengths. But then, you know, Nat Phillips, you know, with his massive now shaved head, was available to sort of dominate that. And I'm not saying that he dominates the back line and dominates the air as well as Virgil van Dijk does, but that's certainly one of his strengths, to be able to get up and head balls away and
lives
that's what
for
you want
it.
From him, yeah.
He absolutely lives for it. I thought the two of them did really well tonight. And, you know, I mean, I was having a go on comms about, you know, Kabak for that one where he puts it into the back of the net. I think Adrian should have just taken control of that situation and come out. But regardless, let's take it from this point of view. They set a really good line and the lad was offside. Now, if that's Gomez and Van Dijk, that's brilliant. That's a great line. And not only that, Ross made a great point during commentary. And it was basically 5 minutes later, they did exactly the same. It'd have been so easy for them to go within themselves after that little misunderstanding. Yeah. I know we don't concede, for them to just drop a few yards, but they did exactly the same, pulled a perfect line again. And there's a few times throughout where I thought you can see that they've worked on that in training, because neither of them are the fastest. So what they have got is if they can control that line, they don't need to use that pace.
Well, I suppose the benefit is that we've had a week off. So we got the Henderson news quite early on in the week. So they'll have all known on Monday morning that the partnership for Sunday is going to be Kabak and Phillips. Right, so let's get fucking training with it, right? Let's get training, high lines. Let's get, let's get training set pieces and defending set pieces. Let's get training defending corners. And overall, let's get them playing in, little matches so that they can start building a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because, I don't know how far Fabinho is away. Apparently Klopp said tonight that he's not too far away. But yeah. I want to get to a point where we don't have to put Fabinho there. I want them to develop a relationship so that we can then put Fabinho back in midfield and we can feel comfortable with that, almost to the point where, like, Fabinho playing ahead of them, playing in that deeper role and protecting those two would be better than having Fabinho at centre-back.
100% agree with that, mate. Yeah. And listen, just while you mentioned it, Klopp said, Klopp on Jota and Fabinho. Diogo was with us in the hotel, but he got sick overnight. I would think he would be ready for Thursday. Fabinho is trained twice. So it sounds like Jota and Fabinho both could be ready to face Chelsea. We've also since heard that Alisson will be back in the side on Thursday against Chelsea. And then it's your question that you're talking about. Do you play Kabak and Phillips, and do you play Fabinho in the six, or do you play Fabinho in the defence? Now, I think personally that he'll go with Fabinho in the defence.
Against Chelsea, I think he will.
Because it's probably Werner or Abraham.
Pace.
Yeah,
it's the pace. And I know Fabinho isn't necessarily the quickest either, but just his extra experience, they always say that the first 2 or 3 yards of pace is reading the game. Mm. And I think that extra, as I say, just that extra experience will help Fabinho and help us there, I think, in particular.
The big question there, though, is you throw Fabinho in, it's another new centre-back partnership.
Unless you're playing with Phillips, has he not?
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah. In my head, Kabak's still probably the number one there.
Probably.
But I'd not considered the Phillips and Fabinho thing. That could be an option for us.
Yeah, I was just going to say, surely out of one of the 18 centre-back partnerships,
Fabinho's been with Phillips
once.
He definitely has. Reece Owens with the 199 Super Chat. Thank you, Reece. He says, Phillips with a skinhead is basically Pajak at the back. I wish I could grow a magnificent beard like that, mate. John Francis, $5 Canadian. Genie equals boss. Let's pick up on that, actually. Genie Wijnaldum tonight, he showed what he can do in that DM role, didn't he? Like, and yet, for me, Ben, and I mentioned this on one of the shows, and that's why I want your opinion, he joined the attack really well as well.
Yeah, I noticed that particularly in the first half, actually. There was a couple of moments where, obviously, the game was being played, sort of on the cusp of our final third, for a lot of it, that's where a lot of the possession was, and he took up a lot of positions in those areas to kind of start attacks, play balls wide to the fullbacks, and then he wouldn't necessarily stop there, often he'd sort of
he had that one where
I've forgotten about, I can't remember that one, to be honest, but
it was like it was brilliant. Yeah. He drives through, little shoulder drop, and straight through. And Ramsdale makes a brilliant save from Genie.
Obviously, he did. So it's promising. Look, we've had the conversation about Genie loads of times, haven't we? This is what he can do it. This is what he's required to do for Holland. And he gets those little things. But to be honest,
he's not required to play the six as well.
No, yeah, he's not required to do it all. To be honest, I mean, I think with a player like Wijnaldum, I won't lie, like tonight, because we're doing so much back there, I didn't notice him as much, but also I think that's a good thing when I don't notice Gino Wijnaldum. When Gino Wijnaldum's on the pitch and he gets about his business and he plays the game that he plays, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that you don't notice Gino Wijnaldum. Well, personally for me, because I end up noticing him if he's giving the ball away a lot, or if he's not really getting involved, at all or whatever. But tonight I felt quite neutral about Gino Wijnaldum. I just felt like he came and he had a good game, and that's a good thing, because ultimately I wasn't sat there going, oh, you know, Gino's having one of them where he's completely invisible. He wasn't invisible, but he wasn't like particularly. I didn't notice anything particularly world beaten either, but that's fine.
Okay. And then I think the other one is, I mean, a first half, I noticed Salah a lot. Second half, tail off a little bit. Is that fair? Do you think this is down to games or tiredness? What do you think it's down to? Or did they change things up?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'd have to watch it again. But yeah, you're right. He was definitely more noticeable. He had the chance in the first half. Maybe it's just when, you know, obviously when we go the first goal up, when we go to, in the grand scheme of things, I'll be 2-0 up with 25 minutes to go. So, like, from there, the game's done. We're controlling the game. Naturally, the front three aren't quite as involved. You know, it's more the midfielders. It's more Atwell's dominating the ball with the fullbacks and into midfield. So, you know, Salah disappears. And I think, you know, as you say, when we're pressing for that goal in the first half, Salah's obviously, you know, trying to make things happen. He's trying to make runs. He's getting on the ball, trying to do things. When we get that goal so early on in the second half, the game does change. And then, you know, ultimately then Salah is less noticeable because it's not the urgency. You know, we can kind of all relax a little bit. I personally, it was nice to get the second goal, but I think we'd have just won that 1-0 tonight. I don't think Sheffield United
when we were going live, one of the things that you wanted to talk about was that, like, how solid we looked when we had the lead.
Yeah.
Like, that was nice, wasn't it? And we didn't really, like, I was sort of switched off to it almost.
Yeah, so did I.
I was like, this is done now. Like, we got to 2-0. We made the changes that we wanted to make. Brought Milner on. We bring Naby Keita on. And that was a real, I don't know whether it's just having a two-goal lead, to be honest with you, might make me feel like that. But this has got to be a good foundation for us now. We've had a lot of false dawns this season, but can we kick on from here, Ben?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. It's about consistency in the team. I don't feel like we're going to get consistency in results until we get consistency in the 11 that we can play.
It's a great line. It's almost like I've been bashing that into everybody's heads for about 6 weeks.
Well, yeah, and I think it's just the sense of, you know, it's not the ideal centre-back partnership we would have chosen at the beginning of the season, but if we can go on a run of 10 games now where, even if Fabinho's fit, as we've just discussed, let's just play those two and just see what happens. It might be that we concede a few more goals than we would do with Van Dijk and Gomez. It might mean that we concede a few sloppier goals than normal. Because I don't think Kabak and Phillips, you know, and they might prove me wrong, but I don't think they're going to be imperious week in, week out, to put it that way. But I do think we'll benefit more in the long run for having them to building a partnership. Now, saying that, we'll get team news on Thursday evening and Nat Phillips will be out because he stubbed his toe or something, you know what I mean?
Nah, he wouldn't have stubbed toe, mate. Well, I go out with concussion from heading 700 balls away in training or something.
700 bricks.
Yeah, that's what he trains with, like scale, used to eat nails for breakfast.
Yeah, but my point is, if we can get consistency in that back four, then, you know, I think
that's your foundation.
Yeah, that's your foundation, not just the result. They have to go hand in hand.
Absolutely. So there you go. That has been the instant match reaction after Liverpool beat Sheffield United in an actual game of football by 2-0. We got a clean sheet and 2 in an actual game of football. Thank you so much for everybody who's joined us tonight, whether it be liking the videos, watching the videos, commenting on, super chatting, joining as a member. You're all massive legends and we love each and every one of you, but not as much as we love Liverpool Football Club, the best team in the fucking world. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back very soon. Ta-ra. Thank you so much for watching the Redmen TV YouTube channel. Everything we do here is funded by our wonderful subscribers to theredmentv.com. Get over there, sign up and get amazing additional content, interviews, documentaries, mini-series, and of course, additional pre- and post-match day content.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky smooth Tree Dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Runner, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.